Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is Seth Green, and you are listening to Somewhere in Vegas with Mark, and I am so hot, I would desperately like a glass of water. Please, please, give me some water.
This is Cindy Preston, and I'm with Mark on Somewhere in Vegas.
Hi, this is Melissa Peterman from CMT's The Singing Bee and the television show Reba, and I have to tell you, I just have to get it off my chest, I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi there. This is Faith Roscoe from General Hospital. You're listening to Mark on Somewhere in Vegas. And you better watch out. We know how to find you if you're not listening.
Hi, this is Shannon Egan from Whippet. And I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hey, this is Lee Allen Baker with Somewhere in Vegas. Talking with Mark with a Q.
This is Courtney Cronin. You're listening to Somewhere in Vegas with your host, Mark. And I would make sure to listen every week because he's a sure bet.
Hey, this is the Money Man, Eddie Money. I've got two tickets to Paradise in this. You know what? It's Somewhere in Vegas. And what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Hi, this is Crystal Gale, and I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi, this is Terry Nunn from Berlin, and you're listening to Mark Somewhere in Vegas.
Hi, this is Miracle Laurie from Joss Whedon's Dollhouse. There are three flowers in a vase, and I'm listening to Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi, this is Erin Hill, and you are listening to Mark on Blog Talk Radio and Somewhere in Vegas. Mark is a great guy.
Hi, this is Sean Pulaski. I'm still trying to figure out Mark Pico's sexuality, but I know you're listening to Somewhere Live in Vegas.
Here you go, Mark. I'm sorry. I thought you were she. I'm sorry. Get out of the tent. Let's get out of here.
Hey, this is Lance and Anna from Free Radio. And Anna?
And you're listening to Somewhere in Vegas.
Yes.
My favorite.
You know, that's usually what happens with me. I go to Vegas and I get lost, and so I end up somewhere in Vegas.
Somewhere in Vegas.
But I just don't know where it is.
Not quite sure.
Yeah, word.
Get ready. It's going to be hot. It's in Vegas. Check out Mark. Be there or be square.
Welcome, everybody, to Somewhere in Vegas here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Mark the Q. I'm your host. I'm very privileged to have a really trusted and a really well-known dating coach out of our part of the country over the West Coast. She has a very incredible YouTube channel, by the way, Deanna Lorraine on YouTube. You guys can check that out as well. I was just checking it out before I came on the show here. And she currently has some seminars going on over there on the West Coast as well. I am privileged to have Miss Hitch herself, Deanna Lorraine, on with us right now. How are you doing, Deanna?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, obviously, well, like I said, I just watched some of the videos on your YouTube channel, which is very informative, especially for people that are kind of awkward in terms of of their. And you know, I'm that way too. I mean, on air, I'm absolutely have a lot of confidence, but when it comes to
you, awkward.
Yeah. Yeah, me awkward in terms of real life, but on the radio, a little bit easier.
It is, you know, and there's a lot of people that might think, well, this stuff is kind of like no-brainer, you know, like how to interact with women or men and how to, you know, talk or approach people or ask for a date. But there's a lot of people where it's just not a no-brainer like that. It doesn't come naturally to them, and especially men and women who are more like sat behind a computer their whole life or, you know, been an engineer. There's so much new in the digital age that it's creating a challenge between men and women to just simply interact and attract each other naturally.
Yeah, you know, you have, well, first of all, let me kind of ask you a question on top of that. I mean, do you think that that's how culture has been over the past decade, is that we're becoming more interactive via social media and not actually interacting with people in general more often? Or,
I definitely,
you know, how's that kind of how's that situation kind of going over the past decade?
Absolutely. Yeah, back in the day, people like played in outdoor real life with people. You know, they connected, they talked on the phone. Everything was in person or over the phone, or it was, you know, natural to just connect with people in real life. Whereas now, you know, with all these different means of communication and technology, like social media and emailing and texting, you know, the purpose was to be able to communicate better, but really it's become less efficient, and it's our natural interpersonal skills, our communication skills are waning now. people are becoming shyer, people are developing social anxieties, and people are becoming more and more disconnected really from each other from real life. It's kind of like a pseudo connection. You know, we're thinking we're best friends with these people or lovers with them because we're chatting all the time on Facebook or texting, but really it's lacking the real, you know, deeper interpersonal connection.
Yeah, you know, and I find that too. I mean, I've met people in real life off of you know, and we're friends with them and all that as well. But sometimes it just the perception's kind of weird. You know, you kind of get to that point where, you know, you kind of know them, but then again, you don't really know them. You know,
so totally.
That
just
is
see
that
their
kind
Facebook
of awkward
feeds every
situation.
Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
You talked. Yeah, you're talking about I was just one of the videos I was just watching was the one about you just released I think it was last week about the left brain people and how, you know, awkward and socially shy that some people could be if they're left brained. I know that a lot of times, like I think it's MIT that has a physical like social class where they have, you know, a lot of these left brain people go through this class to kind of, you know, get over the socially awkwardness as well.
Wow, that's awesome. Glad they have that.
Yes. Yeah, I'm glad they have that too. But yeah, you talked a little bit about that in terms of the video and just to kind of just glance over that. I mean, you either talk about, you know, obviously that, you know, it's kind of like a social piece and a lot of guys are just really, you know, that way that they don't talk very much. They don't have any details or anything like that in terms of their day. They don't think like they have an exciting life or whatever as well as that as well. So it is. I mean, how many kinds of individuals do you see that, you know, like that? Do you counsel a lot of guys like that are
– Absolutely. I would say it's probably 85% of my client base is, you know, they're guys who are more left brain. They're the more technical guys or the engineers. You know, they're brilliant in those, you know, technical areas or in their career. But when it comes to social interactions, they're like clueless, you know. So I actually have to take them out in the field. A lot of times I take them to just like to bars or to singles events or social events or something and just get them, you know, give them in the moment hands-on coaching for how to just be a better conversationalist. And then from there, be able to create chemistry with the opposite sex if that's their ultimate goal.
Now, and you know, I mean, is it just guys that have this situation now? Have you ever encountered girls that have kind of more of a left brain that are a little bit more?
I do. Yeah, I have a lot of women that are more left brain. I would say it's more common with men, but with women, absolutely they do, and they're the more quieter, you know, women who just, you know, maybe more so relate to inanimate objects better than human people, you know, and they're more quiet. And, you know, also, interestingly enough, for women, my main demographic for the females are lawyers. So I have a lot of female lawyers and also business owners of women. And, you know, I believe the reason behind that is because they tend to be so strong and powerful and independent in their careers and very, you know, that's they're using a lot of masculine energy to get so high up in their careers. But when it comes to interacting with men, you know, that's where they kind of fall short and they don't know how to translate or step into their feminine energy and be able to, you know, be more of the girl instead of wearing the pants in the situation.
Yeah, you know, and that's going to be something that we're going to be seeing a lot more of over the next decade. I mean, we're seeing a lot of women take higher roles like that in terms of business and business acumen, and it's something that I think a lot of people are pushing for. So, you know, I'm kind of interested to see how that kind of goes in terms of, you know, how executive women end up going through that situation. It might mean a little bit more business for you down the line.
It might, because the problem is it doesn't work. It's not really working for them. And I see a lot of women over age 40 who are still yet to be married or have a serious relationship. And, you know, the time is ticking and now they got to like freeze their eggs if they want babies. So, it's, you know, it's really important that women do make that a priority, you know, before age 40, ideally, and understand that they can't really be the same, like, balls, you know, I'm going to wear the pants kind of woman that they are in their career that, you know, in the relationship, unless they want a man who they can totally kind of dominate and control, which there are, you know, some women who prefer that. But the majority of women, they actually do want a man who's, like, you know, more the man in the relationship. they just don't really know how to make that crossover when it comes from, you know, away from the office and now it's intimate relationship time, you know?
Yeah, you know, I'm excited. You know, we're seeing people that they're actually dating a little bit older or getting settling down a lot later than mm-hmm. what they used to. I mean, we saw that trend over the past, I think, 2 decades, that we've seen that the age of marriage has gone up to the 30s rather than the 20s.
Yeah.
A lot of that does with social change and the sexual revolution, as it were. You know, how is it for somebody, you say, in their 30s that haven't been married or haven't been or maybe have been divorced and they're going back in the scene as well? I mean, obviously that's kind of a part of your clientele as well. I mean, how's it for them to kind of get back into the game or you know, kind of improve the game a little bit more in terms of that?
Well, if you've been divorced, if you're now divorced and you're reentering the dating scene, a lot of them have like a little culture shock at first. Because they're like, whoa, you know, I was introduced by my parents or family members or something, you know, to my spouse. Then they've been away from the whole dating scene for 10 years or so, and now they're reentering it. And a lot of them don't know, like, how to use the online dating services or Tinder, you know, and how to kind of meet people in this new, you know, digital dating realm. So a lot of them get kind of confused and bewildered when they get thrown out to the dating world. They also realize, you know, pretty quickly that texting is also like way, way bigger. It's a mandatory pretty much to succeed in dating now. Is you understand the art of texting. It's not really, you know, it can't really be something that's a negotiable anymore of like you prefer texting or phone calls, because now pretty much every woman and man, you know, you got to have the texting game and be able to kind of flirt and maintain the connection through texting throughout the week. Whereas, you know, a decade ago or so, that wasn't really the you know, the mandatory norm. So there's a lot of changes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm used to, you know, back in the day when you read letters to write love letters to or a little note.
So romantic. I love that.
Yeah.
I miss the days when men actually called women on the phone and had to like wait for call waiting or leave a voicemail, you know, a message on the home answering machine, you know, for everyone to hear. I mean, that was like the real pursuit, you know, the art of the pursuit. Now, guys don't really have to pursue all that much in terms of like courtship.
And the texting thing, do you think that's just because you know, do you think that's because women are more adapt to texting than men are? I think sometimes that seems to be the case.
Yeah, you know, they are. They're more adept at texting. And women, like you just said, you know, women are busier nowadays. They tend to have full careers like men. And so what was cool and kosher back in the day to call a woman at night for a date or call her to see how her day was, a lot of women are just like, screw that. You know, I need to text. Like, text me because I'm too busy to answer a phone call. You know, so a lot of it is just basically women not really having time to talk and make plans and stuff and chit chat on the phone like they used to more so. And also, you know, based on the age of Tinder and online dating sites and everything, most, you know, relatively attractive women, even an average woman, typically now has a lot more options of men than back in the day. So, you know, you can guarantee pretty much that any woman you're talking to probably is talking to like 2 to 3 other guys at the same time as you. So it's kind of like, in order to stand out, in order to continue that connection and keep you on her mind rather than these other dudes in the picture, you gotta kind of learn how to text and be witty or be flirtatious through your texting so you stay on her mind throughout the week.
Kind of going off of that, I mean, you know, doing a dating profile is always kind of a chore a little bit, you know, especially
I love doing them.
Creative, you know,
I know, but a lot of people find them a chore. I love doing them and I love writing them for my clients, but I know there's a lot of people that think like it's such a nightmare to talk about themselves and to create an online dating profile.
Yeah, I mean, you know, talking about, you know, about the lady businessman clients you have and maybe some of the tech guys as well. I mean, a lot of them are super hyper-focused on their careers more than anything else. You don't maybe have hobbies or anything like that. I mean,
yeah.
Is that something that you have to kind of deal with when you're talking to these people? Like, you know, I don't say get a life, but get something that makes you a little bit more interesting.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's part of my whole coaching plan. It's a comprehensive thing. So it's not just like I'm going to give you strategies of dating and how to attract women or men, but also a lot of them, you're right, they don't have a lot of hobbies, or they're not that interesting of a person or leading that interesting of a life right now. So I get them to add, you know, expand their life, expand their level of genuine interesting, and being more dynamic genuinely. So, you know, adding a couple hobbies, you know, traveling a little bit more, and or, you know, developing their skills or knowledge base, but basically, you know, joining some things or doing things with their life that makes them genuinely more interesting and attractive. I call it the Casanova complex, because Casanova, who was an incredible ladies man, you know, he wasn't necessarily a ladies man because he was so good looking. He was so fascinating to the women, and women were just all over him because he had so many interests. He, you know, he learned, like, he knew like 5 languages and that he was fluent in, and he was constantly reading. He was a performer and in the arts, and there was just so many things about him that he was just so well-rounded and dynamic that women were just drawn to him naturally. And that's, you know, kind of the key with attraction. It's not necessarily you need to be a model, you know, or have 6-pack abs. It's, you know, do you have a kind of life, and are you that interesting person that people want to be a part of and that they're drawn to?
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting for you to say. I mean, I know I usually have like 7 or 8 things going on at once. I'm one of those people that do like having a lot of projects in the air and doing interesting things. And I'm very whimsical in the terms that I'll do something on a whim if it's feasible for me to do, you know. But I'm no way in terms of having the looks of Casanova, though. But but yeah, I mean, it's interesting.
Well, that's an extreme example, but somewhere in between.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Desirable.
Just
yeah.
Don't go home from work and then go sit on your couch or play video games, and that's pretty much your whole life. Like that, you know. No one really finds that to be an interesting guy or girl.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's becoming the case more often than not, though, because there, you know, a lot of people are even, you know, coming home, and even the women, they're coming home and playing video games. They go home and play video games and all that
It's scary. So. It's the age of video games. And our, you know, back in the day, we were probably you too. You know, you grew up playing like hide and go seek with the neighbors and building tree forts and all that stuff outside. So you learn to socialize. But these days, you know, the kids are growing up on video games and TV, and so again, with the limited social skills, that's more becoming the norm instead of real, you know, people and real hobbies.
Have you seen the movie Pixels by any chance?
I'm sorry, Pixels? I haven't. No, should I go see it?
You should, because it does refer to that in terms of you know, back in the day, they had to go to the arcade in order to play video games. So it kind of meant that you had to kind of interact with people. They talk a little bit about that in the movie. But yeah, it kind of reminded me of what they had said in the movie and all that as well. But if you're an '80s fan, I highly recommend you go see it, because I was
yeah, I'll check it out.
Yeah, I'm. You know, I grew up on Atari, so. I mean, it's great to be able to be able to interact and all that as well. I mean, do you see that? You know, that maybe there's going to be a resurgence in the fact that there'll be these social events that that people can go to kind of interact a lot more. I mean, it seems like we're kind of gotten to that rut where we're, you know, meeting people online and we're not really knowing what we're getting and all that as well. But do you feel that, you know, we're getting to that point at which the it's going to break, that we're, you know, that we need to go out a lot more and be able to interact with people a lot more?
You know, I would love to think that that's the case, but sadly, trends are kind of pointing to the opposite direction. I know there's a lot of matchmakers, for instance, now that, including myself, I've thrown a couple of these, but they're now throwing virtual mixers. So whereas before they're throwing singles events in person, right? You know, that's the norm. But now some matchmakers or dating services are now throwing virtual speed dating events or virtual mixers, where, again, people are in the comfort of their own homes by themselves, but, you know, hanging out on some virtual mixer so that they can meet people online. Again, with the goal of then meeting them in person after that, hopefully, if there's a connection. But it seems like actually more and more people are now turning to virtual events and creating these virtual events because they could sort of reach more people. There's also so many more dating apps that are happening now, that are coming out now. So I personally like throwing real events, you know, and I still encourage people to go to real events as much as possible and only use the virtual kind of events to supplement that, you know, if they can't find a real event, you know, do those things too. But I don't believe it should be your sole, you know, means of meeting people. There's so much, there's just nothing really like a real in-person connection when you first meet someone and you have that love at first sight or whatever. But, you know, I encourage people to look everywhere. You know, that person might be in the grocery store or the airport or sitting on the plane with you. You know, I mean, they could literally be anywhere. And it's important for everyone to keep their eyes open and not like glued to their iPhones or, you know, whatever they're doing when they're walking and their head is down. You know, they might be missing their potential soulmate if they're doing that and they're not consciously aware.
Yeah, you know, and it seems like, you know, it kind of a good news, bad news situation in terms of social media when it comes to, you know, if you have a friend that you know in person that they possibly might know somebody that could be really right for you as well. And mm-hmm. it seems like at point that it also becomes a little bit formulaic in some of these dating sites as well. It comes down to a formula, which
left,
really,
swipe right.
I'm not into the whole idea of a formula. You know, I don't think love is a formula. It just happens. It has happened to happen.
You got to be open and ready for it. I think that you should be proactive, but also not like, you know, you should be organic about it at the same time and put some organic methods of meeting people as well as like, you know, your Tinder or your online dating sites too.
Now, what's your opinion on dating somebody in the same field of work or whatever? Do you think that's good, that's bad? Are you indifferent to that?
I think it can be fantastic because you have something built in that you have in common. You're passionate about it. I think, you know, we spend a third of our lives at the workplace. So that would make sense that you might meet someone or connect with someone at the workplace. And then, you know, that you spend a lot more time with them than being apart. But also B is because we tend to connect most with people who we share a common passion with or common interest with, and we can connect on that level or even sort of complementary, if we have sort of complementary skills but in the same industry. And that sort of feeling of connecting over a certain passion or skill set is really has a powerful bonding effect. You know, it does. So I think that if you can find someone that's in your field or a related work field, I think it ends up being a tremendous match. Some people would avoid that. They think, oh, you know, it's too much to talk about work and then kind of bring the work home. But I think that, you know, it also brings a certain level of, you know, similar values with it too, like entrepreneurs dating entrepreneurs or, you know, scientists dating other scientists in the field. It's that passion that creates a powerful bonding effect. And I think that's more lasting than someone who doesn't have that same common interest or, you know, work, career passion.
Do you find sometimes that clients maybe have too high of expectations in terms of what they want or have a list that's really like, you know, kind of impossible to fill?
Oh, yes, definitely. And it's getting more and more demanding every year, it seems like. You know, back in the day, people would just be happy. You know, a woman would be happy if she was introduced to a wonderful guy who seemed like he would make a wonderful father and husband, and he was caring and a good provider. And he was relatively, you know, like average looking. And most women would be happy. And what most men would be happy about, you know, he meets a girl and he thinks she's going to be a great mother or wife and, you know, because is feminine. And that was, you know, fulfilling back then. But now it's like now that we have an abundance of options of who we can choose, we have what we created, what I call the grass is greener syndrome, like an epidemic of the grass is greener. And we're all thinking and wondering, is the grass greener on the other side? You know, is someone better out there for me? When we finally meet someone, we might even think, okay, he's so great, but I wonder if I can find someone just a little bit better. So absolutely, people are becoming way more demanding, unrealistic with their expectations and their criteria of what they want for their ideal man or woman is getting like, you know, 10 pages long. So I have to sometimes really get them a reality check and say, look, do you want a husband? Do you want a wife? Or do you want, you know, someone who looks good on paper? Because, you know, a lot of times they're looking and they're so focused on these qualities. It's like, what about the actual connection? The chemistry and the connection should you know, should come first and foremost instead of just having a list of qualities on paper. I think people need to become less demanding too with what they're looking for, or else, you know, they're 50 years old and still haven't found it yet.
And on the inverse of that, especially with your left brainers, do you find that they don't have very much in terms of their demands, in terms of what they're looking for, and have to coax them into wanting to give us a couple more details?
Yes, I find that people who are more on the left brain side of the court, they tend to be very simplistic in what they're looking for, and it's too simple often, because we don't have any kind of a radar for, you know, or a target for what we need or what we want to attract for them. So it's important for me to then coach them into, looking more. Their lists are absent of things like passion and chemistry and, you know, connection and things like that. So I like to add things like that on their list. And, having an important social life and having someone who brings that side out of them is also important. So, you know, you have to have something that's in between. Someone, you know, you should know what your needs are, your absolute must-have needs are that need to be fulfilled by your relationship, and also what you bring to the table. It should be a match. And if you're missing on any areas or lacking in any areas, but you want that thing in a partner, it's important for you to step up your own game, or so that you could be a match to that person and attract them. Or you may need to lower your standards a bit.
Yeah, now, speaking of, about standards and what you're talking about earlier, do you think the media has a lot to do with that, the idea of wanting higher standards now in terms of...
I definitely think the media has a lot to do with it, because we release all these movies and, you know, they're all about romantic whirlwind love stories, and it's like the Prince Charming or the woman who's got like everything, you know, and movies can create the perfect man or woman easily by the perfect actor. He's handsome, he's wealthy, he's got everything that a woman wants, you know, funny, charming, but they're like, they don't have flaws typically because it's a movie. So people often think, I can get that too. That's what I should be striving for. And they don't realize that every person has imperfections. We're all imperfect. And you can't be looking for the perfect partner, the perfect soulmate, because, you know, they don't exist. So if you're focused solely on this perfect Prince Charming or soulmate, then you're going to miss out on a lot of incredible people, but that would actually be a good match for you. But you're so focused on perfection that you're kind of missing the boat. You know, you're missing the actual connection. So I do think media has a ton to do with our, you know, skewed viewpoints at this point, and this, you know, perfect search for the perfect person now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame that, you know, to say that, you know, I mean, not a lot of guys have movie star good looks, but yeah, they're great. They're great people,
mm-hmm.
And they said flaws are sometimes very attractive, by the way.
What are,
you know,
flaws?
Flaws, yeah.
Yeah, we're all flawed, and it's about what kind of flaws can you live with, and, you know, like, we all have flaws, but can you live with X, Y, and Z, you know, do you mind this, you know, it's sort of like negotiating and finding imperfections endearing if you really like the person.
Yeah, there's a website now, a dating website now that kind of embraces that, and I absolutely love it. I actually had one of the founders of it on earlier this year.
Oh, wow.
But he has that exact same idea. It's like, you know, he goes into, okay, this is what's good about me, and then he goes into, this is what's, you know, what's bad about me, and, you know, they have attractive pictures, and then they'll have pictures that aren't so attractive. You know, it kind of gives you kind of a little bit more truthful kind of slant in terms of that. So, you know, I sometimes feel that, you know, that little truth helps, you know,
it does help.
In terms of that.
You feel like a friend. Yeah, you got to be real. You got to be real upfront as much as possible, and, you know, also choose a partner that you can grow with. You know, someone who you can grow together and improve each other together, and sort of like have a partnership where you can continue to move upward in life and improve any of those flaws. You know, perhaps the right partner can help you sort of move forward past those and grow together to be even better.
Okay, one last question.
Sure.
Now, what one overcompassing piece of advice would you give give to men and women about dating, and to try to kind of take the edge of the scare, the scarcity of what it is?
I would say to be proactive and clear, like be really honest. I would say, like, be proactive and clear what's in the way. If you expect to find your ideal partner, if you're looking for your ideal partner, understand that someone isn't necessarily going to magically show up for you, but you, A, have got to be prepared and be proactive, but B, part of that proactiveness is, and preparation is really working on yourself. And everyone says it, I know it's kind of cliche, but it's so important to be in a state of improvement, self-improvement, while you're waiting for the right person to show up, because that improvement, and a lot of times we think we're ready for love, or we're ready for the right person, but we've got some issues or blocks around our heart or around, you know, our ability to be in a relationship and make it work. And especially if we're over age 30, a lot of times we have these blocks that are unconscious that we don't know about. So it's really important to do that inner work as much as possible and clear out baggage or what's in the way, because it's when you do the inner work that the right person is going to show up for you and the better match for you. You'll be in a different state, in a higher state to meet that right person and attract them, rather than if you just don't do anything at all and just kind of sit there, you're going to attract a match for you that's just there on that low level with you. You know what I mean? So be proactive,
yeah,
and do the inner work on yourself.
I still need to do the inner work on myself, actually. I have to do that. So I will
yeah.
work on that. Definitely. Like I said, I mean, your YouTube channel is just so full of information, and I'm going to start watching it more often now.
Thank you. And I love Vegas, by the way.
Yeah, you need to do an event up here at some point. I mean, it's not too far from San Diego and L.A.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love Vegas. I was there in December and also in January. I come a couple times a year. It does. Somewhere in Vegas just has that feel of, like, something's going to happen, probably romantic, but who knows what's going to happen. Let the night take its course.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where up here in Vegas, I mean, well, first of all, you come at a good time of the year because you go in the winter. You know, it's hotter than heck right now. But the idea of, you know, marriage and, you know, like, that's kind of an old school kind of thing too, you know, meeting somebody
mm-hmm.
in Vegas, you know, overnight, falling in love overnight and deciding, oh, let's go get married. And the ironic thing is that actually people would actually come up here to get divorced. And that was the original
thing. Oh, no.
Go up here and get a quickie divorce.
Wow.
So
that takes the romance out of Vegas a little bit.
Yeah, it does. But yeah, it's absolutely great. But yeah, anyway, yeah, definitely check out Deanna's YouTube channel, Deanna Lorraine. Also,
thank you.
At the Dating Coach, that's THEE Dating Coach on Twitter.
For
and
Twitter.
Then you're also on Facebook, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, my website is DeannaLorraine.com. Or datingcoachdeanna.com is the one for women. And Facebook is Deanna Lorraine.
So, yeah, definitely check that out as well.
Thank you.
Absolutely to be able to have talked to you about this. You know, I have another ton of questions. We could have went for another hour, but I don't
for
want to take
sure.
your time that much. We'll definitely have you back on the show hopefully sometime. Maybe we'll get you down towards Valentine's Day or a little bit before.
That would be great.
Talk a little bit
we can do a little
too,
Valentine's
so.
For sure. Well, thank you. Great conversations.
No problem at all. And thank you for coming on the show.
For sure. Thank you. Anytime.
Okay. Bye, Deanna.
Bye.
Yeah, Lorraine, everybody. You guys can check her out at The Dating Coach on Twitter, DeannaLorraine.com to check out her website. And like I said, check out her YouTube channel. It has some really good, interesting videos in terms of advice in terms of certain individuals and all that as well. It's really great to be able to see. Don't know exactly who I'm going to have on next week. I'll have to take a look and see. I've got a couple of people that are waiting in the wings to be interviewed, so I'll let you guys know. I know I've been kind of off the whole Vegas thing for a while. I've been wanting to get a couple of local comedians on, comedians that have been at some of the local clubs here in town. And maybe I'll try to get some of these bands that are coming into town as well. I've been kind of off that track for a while too. So give me a couple weeks. I'm just getting back in the swing of things. Just wrapped filming on my project. So we have more time to start booking guests on here, so we'll be on regularly now from now on. We had to take a couple weeks off just because of certain things going on with the movie, and I couldn't have time to be able to set up some guests. So make sure you guys check that out. VegasPodcasting.com will have it should be somewhat updated. Obviously, this podcast will have to be put up at some point. So you'll definitely check that out, VegasPodcasting.com. Check us out on Twitter, at SWIV, at SWIV for Somewhere in Vegas, and Somewhere in Vegas on Facebook as well. We will see you guys next week, next Monday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. I will let you guys know what's going up, hopefully soon, within the next couple of days. With that in mind, we'll see you guys next week.